All right, I'm glad you're back tonight. Hope you have a tremendous new year. Hard to believe that we are reaching into 2018. It just seems like yesterday that we had the Y2K scare. You remember that? That was only 18 years ago. Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. But how time flies. The older we get, the quicker it goes. Amen. Ain't that the truth? But I'm glad to be here tonight. Find in your Bibles Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. I don't know if this has been if I were to ask you, has this been a great year or has this been a terrible year? It might be some of both. Amen. Probably that'd be the truth about just about any of us. Does anybody have a testimony before we start tonight? Anybody have anything you want to say before we do our very short sermon? Anybody? I want to give you an opportunity. Miss Brown. God's been good. Yes, He. Yes, ma'am. God's been good, bad times and good times. Anybody else? Dr. Avery. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord, Brother Nick. I'm glad you got a good job, too. Praise the Lord for it. Anybody else got a word before we see what the Lord has for us? Brother Michael. You got to say it. Amen. That's right. I forgot to sing happy birthday to Lindsay. Yeah. Wow. Amen. Yep. Praise the Lord. Amen. I agree, brother. Anybody else got a quick, Brother Dave? Yep. Amen. Sure. Yep. Amen. Amen, Jay. Preacher. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sure. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Lord bless you, preacher. He's going to sneak in one night with all that whole bunch. So we'll be looking forward to that. We won't tell Brother Sellers. We'll just surprise him. Amen. Bring the whole shooting match over here and just have a good service. We look forward to doing that in this up and coming year. Anybody else? Don't want to miss you. I want to give you an opportunity if you have one. I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me 30 years ago. Praise God for His goodness. And for what He has allowed me to do and allowed me to see, allowed me to minister, I thank God for my wife. I don't know of another lady that works any harder than my wife does or any longer hours than my wife does. And I love her and I appreciate her and thank God for her. And God's just been good to me, better than I could ever deserve. And one of the great things I get to do with my life is to spend it with you folks that I love and honor. And I appreciate and I thank you for your faithfulness and for your care of my family. God bless you. Anything else? Isaiah chapter number 43. I'm going to start reading at verse number 11. I just got three quick thoughts I want to share with you tonight. We are on the cusp of a new year. We don't get to say that word very often, but that's a nice word. Cusp of a new year. Just around the corner. Am I going to stay up to midnight and see it in? Probably not. Probably not. I don't know that I can keep my eyes open that long. I'll try. I took me a little nap today and drank me some coffee, so we'll see. I might make it to 9:30 tonight. These ain't no telling, amen. Woo! Looking forward to it. But who knows? We'll see what the Lord has for us this up and coming year. This has been a challenging year on many terms. Okay? Personally, I've went through some challenges. Ministerially, is that a word? I don't know. I just made it up. But I've went through some challenges. Went through some challenges in my family, probably like most all of us have. But unless God intervenes tonight at midnight, He'll close the door on this year, 2017. What lies in the new year, I don't know. But I know the one that will be there. But I do know there's some things that I can do in my own personal life. far above getting up every day and reading my Bible. I don't know if that is a practice for you. I hope it is. Okay? Now listen, God's not going to send you to hell if you don't read your Bible every day. God's not going to smite you in the head and cause your family to fall apart and make you lose your job and your car break down if you don't read your Bible every day. God doesn't do that. But it will help you. It'll nurture your spirit and your soul get fed if you'll find some time in this new year every day. Brother Earl, that's asking a lot. I know it is. There might be a day or two or three or four or ten throughout the year that I don't read my Bible, but I try to make it a practice to get into this book every day, if it's only for a short period of time. I need it. I'm a terrible sinner. And I'm a bad sinner when I read my Bible. I'm a bad sinner when I pray and go to church faithfully. Okay? Lord, help me if I quit doing all that and what in the world will happen to me. Amen? But read your Bible. Get into that book that God's given us. But there's some things that I can do above being faithful to the house of God, reading my Bible, praying, witnessing for the Lord. All those things are of the utmost importance, and you would agree with that. But there's some other things that I can do that I think will help me as an individual make the most of this new year. And that's what I want to share with you tonight. Isaiah chapter 43, I'm going to start reading in verse 11, read down through verse 18 or 19, make a few comments, and we'll be done. Our Bible says this, the Word of God, Isaiah 43, 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it, or who shall hinder it, is what he's saying. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and the path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise, they are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Verse 18, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'll stop reading there. Verse number 42, we don't have time to go through all that. God tells about the Lord Jesus that's coming. Toward the end of the chapter, He gets on to Israel pretty good about some of the things that they did and didn't do. And then as we get into chapter number 43, matter of fact, verse 1 of chapter 43 says this, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Verse 2, a great verse. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God. Okay, so in chapter 42, he gets on to him pretty good. Israel has been a backsliding heifer, the Bible says. Israel has turned their back on God. I've been reading some in the book of Kings. And a king will get set up, and the Bible says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and he gets killed, and the next guy comes along, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and somebody kills him, and the next guy comes along. Every now and then you run across a Hezekiah or an Asa, where the Bible says, and they did what was right in the sight of the Lord, like David their father. Every now and then you come across a good one. Most of them are bad, though. Israel has been following that pattern. They have blown it terribly. But God comes into chapter 43, and he starts saying things like this. I know you messed up in the past, but I have redeemed you. You are mine. I am your God. Things are going to be okay. Then he gets down to verse 18 and 19 and he says this, remember ye not the former things. Had Israel failed, you better believe they had. Had Israel made a mockery of God's name, you better believe they had. But God gives them this great advice. Remember not the old things, the former things. I'm going to do something new. Three things tonight that if I'll do them personally, I'll help myself, if you'll let me say it that way, in this new year. Number one, if you're taking notes, write this down in your heart. If I'm going to make the most of this new year, I have to forget the failures. I have to forget the failures. Would you write that down somewhere in your heart? Because God said, remember ye not the former things. Don't mention the old things from the past. There comes a time when we need to move on. This carries the idea of not allowing ourselves to dwell on the things that happened in the past that were bad. Everybody in the room tonight has failed God this past year. You didn't pray enough. You didn't read your Bible enough. You didn't witness enough. You shut off your mouth when you wasn't supposed to. You said some things to your wife or your husband that you shouldn't have. We've all blown it because we're sinners. That's just who we are. That's how we're made. God said, listen, I want to remind you something. You're going to have to forget the failures. I've met a lot of folks in my life like you have. I've met some that can never quite get the victory in their life that has already been given us. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that we've been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not fighting for victory. We are fighting from victory. Victory is already ours. I have the ability, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, to live a victorious Christian life every day. Not because I'm great, not because I read my Bible, not because I witness, but because Jesus Christ has already done the hard work and He has given me the victory. The victory is not in me. The victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I have the ability to walk in victory every day, but I don't. Lots of days I walk in defeat. So I have to remember this. I can't dwell on the fact that I let God down so many times this past year, and I did. I can't dwell on the fact that I let my preacher down this past year, and I did. I can't dwell on the fact that I let you down, the ministry that God has called me to, the school, the students, the staff, my wife, whomever, I've let them down. I have blown it. I can't dwell on that. We've all met folks that have suffered defeat in their life, and it was a defeat that was so devastating that they just can't seem to get past it. And their life is lived in perpetuity of defeat, always struggling, always trying to live up to what God wants them to be, always like those mountains Michael's talking about. Today I'm up on the mountain, tomorrow I'm in the valley. Today I'm on the mountain, tomorrow I'm in the valley, and I spend my entire Christian life getting seasick, amen, because I'm up and down and up and down. When God has already given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If this new year, unless God comes and takes us home, unless the Lord Jesus comes back, we'll be here this time next year. Brother Sellers will be out of town. I'll be preaching the same message, amen, next year at this time. And we're going to be still talking about this. We're going to have to forget the failures. Did you fail God this year? I bet you did. Are you going to let that failure cripple you so much that you can't get victory in this new year? Please don't do that. We must learn from our failures, but not live in our failures. They're there to teach me a lesson. If I wander away from God and I get off the path and my life starts falling apart, here's what I learned from that. I can't do that and serve God. I can't do that and have the victory in my life. What I need to learn from that experience is this. Stay on the right path. Stay following God. Stay hot after the Lord Jesus. Stay in the Word of God. Be led of the Spirit. Here, can I confess some sin to you? I'm not sure how I'm going to confess this, but let me confess this. There's a lot of things I can do without God's help. And there's a lot of things I do without God's help. Would you let me say that? What do you mean, Brother Earl? Here's what I mean. I'm not real shy, so I don't have to pray for wit or for boldness. I'm fairly bold. I can stand up and sing a song or lead a song or teach a lesson or preach a message. I can do all those things. Can I tell you that I've done every one of those things without God's help? In my flesh? See, God gives us talent, doesn't He? God gives us personalities, doesn't He? Sure He does. But how many times have I failed Him because I've tried to do it in my own flesh or on my own power? Okay? Listen, there is no way that I can serve God correctly. There's no way that I can preach a message correctly. There's no way that I can witness or serve or teach correctly or love my wife or my children or my grandchildren correctly without the filling of the Spirit of God. For without Him, I can do nothing. I have to forget the failure. They're there. Oh, dear Lord, I couldn't. If I had a sheet of paper up here, I'd have it filled up so quick. I'd have to have another sheet and roll it down the aisle and read them all off to you, and we'd be here till midnight, sure enough, to watch the new year come in. I have failures, and dear Lord, I cannot dwell on them. Please know that God loves us more than we can ever understand. Some people never get past them. He has not cast off His people. No one here has failed to the point that God has turned His back on you and is not going to help you in the future. No one. No one. Jim came forward this morning and Jim said this. He said, I got saved a long time ago, or I thought I did. He said, but God's been working on me. He said, I got to get saved. We got to get past our failures. You failed last year, and I know you did because I go to church with you. Let's get past them. Number two, not only do we have to forget the failures, we got to forgive the faults, and this is the harder one. I can forgive myself and move on pretty good, but you know what's trouble sometimes is trying to forgive other people. You can say amen if you want to. Verse 18 says, neither consider the things of old. That word consider means to try and understand, to mark. Do you suppose that someone in here had their feelings hurt last year? Do you suppose that some spouse in here last year got their feelings hurt by their significant other? That some church member got their feelings hurt from another church member? Maybe a church member got their feelings hurt from the preacher? Brother Earl, has Brother Sellers ever hurt your feelings? He does it all the time. Amen. Sometimes on purpose, I think. No, I'm just kidding. But he has hurt my feelings before. You suppose that any of us got our feelings hurt this past year to the point where it really, really bothered us and we weren't sure if we wanted to continue? Sure. Were you treated in a fashion that was what you thought was unnecessary? Sure. Remember how upset it made you? Remember how mad and angry you got? And you thought about, how in the world can they do that to me? What? I don't deserve that. Here's some advice for you. You ready for it? Get over it. Okay? That's about as blunt as I can say it. Get over it. Get past it and forgive their faults. Here's a principle that I'm not sure who taught it to me, but I'm still learning it. Let's put it that way. But someone mentioned it to me. I don't have the right to hold a grudge against anyone on the planet because God doesn't hold one against me, and I've sinned a heap more than everybody else has. That's the way I think. That's the way God wants me to think about it anyway. I don't have a right to hold a grudge against anybody because of all the things that God has forgiven me for. Dear Lord, the list goes on and on and on and on. So what am I going to do? I'm gonna look down my nose on someone because they didn't function the way I thought they should? No, dear Lord, God has forgiven me far more than I could ever hold against anybody else. I have trouble getting on to people. I really do. It's just not in my nature. I'm a softie. I am. But you know what lies behind that sometimes? I have trouble getting on the folks because I know how sorry I am. I know how wicked I can be. Forgive them. The Bible says, and I'll use the Earl version, it says this: if we don't forgive other people, then how in the cat hair can God forgive us? How in the world can we go to God and say, oh God, forgive me because I have sinned? And we hold a grudge against our neighbor, our spouse, our preacher, our Sunday school teacher, our church member, our neighbor, our friend, our family, whomever. You know what? Can I just say this, and I just got to say it. I don't understand families that don't talk to each other. Now, I understand there's things that go on that I don't have any idea about. David and Absalom, here's the great example. You know, Absalom rose up against David. Absalom left, and Joab gets in the mix, and he says, David, why don't you send for Absalom, and let's put this thing to rest. And David sent for Absalom, and David and Absalom lived in the same city for 3 years, the Bible said, and did not see each other's face. That is not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. You know what's going to help me this year? If I'll forgive the faults of other people, that I won't hold a grudge against them because they hurt my feelings. Get over it. Get over it. I know I've told you this, and I'll tell you it again, and I'm almost done. When I was in Bible college, Craig Wilson, Stacy, you know who I'm talking about. He was a friend of mine. We went to Bible college together. He graduated 2 years ahead of me and then became like the sergeant of arms or whatever of the Bible college. He made all us younger guys toe the line. Well, he skint my hide one day. I mean, this was my friend. This was my buddy. And he just skint my hide one day over something I didn't do. I was innocent. Y'all know me. I don't ever do anything wrong. I was innocent. This time I was. But boy, he let me have it. I got so mad at him, I could have spit in his face. We went to the same church together. We went to the same Sunday school together, if I remember correctly. And we were in the same Bible college together. And I couldn't look at him. I was so mad at him. I'd have beat his eyes out for a nickel, amen. I was mad, mad. You done made me mad. You got on to me. I didn't deserve it. I'm mad at you. He'd come in the room, I'd leave the room. He'd come down the aisle in Walmart, and I'd go in the other aisle. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, I would avoid him on purpose because I was mad at him. Then one day God said, you're a hypocrite. All the stuff I've forgiven you for, and you act like you're better than him. So the skinning that I got from Craig was a very minor thing compared to the one I got from God. So you know what I did? I went to Craig and I said, Craig, I got to talk to you. I said, doggone, if you ain't made me mad as fire, I'm about to kill you. And I've been wrong and I've been bitter in my heart and I've had a grudge against you and I want you to forgive me. And his response, I didn't know I'd made you mad. See, I'd walk around, he'd be whistling and smiling and having a good time and loving Jesus, and I'd be mad as fire. How in the world can you walk around being happy when I'm mad at you? I done figured this out. He wasn't suffering, I was. But I hugged his neck that day and I asked for forgiveness, and I learned a great lesson that day, that it's the one that's holding the grudge. It's the one that has the bitterness. It's the one that has the unforgiving spirit that suffers. It's not the other person. I don't know what happened to you this past year. I don't know who ruffled your feathers. I don't know who curled your socks or put starch in your underwear. Whoever it was, here's my advice. Get over it and move on. It ain't worth it. Last thing, and I'm done. Not only do we have to forget the failures and forgive the faults, but here's the best thing, and that is focus on the Father. God said in verse 19, behold, I will do a new thing. I am going to take care of this. I am going to make a way for you. I am going to create a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I am going to make sure that this thing happens. The God of gods, the Lord of glory that we preached about this morning, He's on our side. We're His children. He's going to make sure. We're okay. Behold, I will do a new thing. God has something new for me this year. I don't know what it is. He's got something new for you this year. Now, that's not saying that you won't have to go through valleys, because you will. That's not saying that everything's going to be great, because it might not be. This could be a challenging year, but here's what I've learned from reading the Word of God. God said, I'm going to make a way. The way might be rough, but I'm going to make a way. I'm going to take care of you. The best thing I can do, here's my prayer. Lord, give me a thirst for righteousness. Give me a thirst for Jesus. Give me a thirst that cannot be satisfied until I awake in His likeness. Give me a thirst for God. Wouldn't that be awesome? God said, quit trying to live in the old. I got something new for you. Some of you have been praying about stuff for a long time. Don't quit. You know what? This could be the year that God answers that prayer that you've been praying for 10 years, that you've been praying for 15 years. I've been praying for Mr. Franklin to get saved for 10 years. Still ain't saved. So I'm going to quit? I don't think I can quit. Sure as I quit, get to heaven, God said, if you'd have prayed one more time, Earl. I mean, I had him right there. If you'd have just prayed one more time. We can't quit. This has been a challenging year for our ministry. Okay? The thought of quitting has probably crossed a lot of minds. Mine included. But dear God, how can we do that now? How can we throw up our hands and say, this is it? How can I do that? Listen, I need to focus on the Father. You know what I focus on too many times? Is the problems. Dear Lord, and I got some. Tell you what, you know what's a challenge? You know what's a really big challenge? Take care of the finances of this ministry. That's a challenge. And there's been many times that I said, what in the cat here is going on? I don't know what in the world to do. But we can't quit now. We've come too far. Would you, this coming year, would you forget your failures? Whoever that was that hurt your feelings, would you forgive their fault? But above and beyond those things, would you and I join together and say, this year, I'm going to focus on the Father, because I know this, every answer is in Him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I love You. And God, if I focused on all the times I'd failed, I wouldn't be worth a nickel. Because, Lord, they are many. God, thank You for the forgiveness of sin. God, how in the world can I ever hold a grudge against anybody, considering what I have done to the precious Son of God in the things I've done and the things I've not done. Lord, what I need is to focus on You, not on the problems that come, not on the lack that comes sometimes, but Lord, on You. Lord God in heaven, would You help me this year to thirst for righteousness, to thirst for the power and the glory and the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for these good folks. I'm glad that I know them and I get to go to church with them. Lord, maybe there's one here that's not saved. I don't know. If they are, would You save them tonight? Maybe there's others here like me that want this year to be the greatest year for this ministry, for this church, for our preacher and his family. God, just so many things. Would You help us to do that by focusing on You? And we'll thank You for it in Christ's name. You can stand to your feet. Miss Lori's going to play a song, and the altar is open. If I can pray with you, I'll be glad to do so. Maybe you just want to come down and talk to the Lord, or maybe you want to do it right where you're at. I'll leave that up to you. Miss Lori.